Imagine being a caterpillar and the first time the very first caterpillar turned into a butterfly. And he was like, yo, what? Are we rolling? Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
Welcome
guys.
back to another episode of the Don't Tell Mom podcast.
Hey, y'all. This is the brother-sister duo. We're anything and everything.
What is going down? This is a follow-up podcast, if you will, to last week's. I'm actually in studio this week. I
Yay!
made it home from the beach, and
Going home. I can't believe it. I
you
thought you
made
were
it
gonna stay
home.
down there.
I can't believe you made it home.
I know.
We'll touch on that in a minute. Golly, but yeah, let's just talk about some stuff going on real quick before we jump into that.
Okay.
Did you hear that in China there was a chicken wing that got tested for COVID? Like literally.
A chicken wing, like at lunch.
Yeah, like a frozen chicken wing. It was in the news the other day. I was like, what
Oh
the
my God.
hell?
Oh my
Are
God.
they like
It's
running
never
tests?
gonna end.
Like, how did somebody like take it to the doctor and say, can you test this before I eat it? Or
Maybe they're just swabbing all the frozen food
that's probably what happened. I
that
need to
came
read
out of
the article.
Wuhan in January or
I thought it
February,
was
you
a
know.
joke at first when I saw it on Twitter,
It sounds like a joke.
but I was like, oh, this is good podcast material to start off the podcast
A chicken wing,
with.
huh?
A
Dang,
freaking
went to
chicken
lunch,
wing.
got COVID. Ain't nobody even around you.
Yeah, so
Ordered in, wore a mask, everything.
that's crazy. Yeah, I need to
How'd you get it?
find
Chicken
out.
wing.
I mean, bat soup is a little more believable because, you know, diseases and stuff
Well,
like that. But like
it must have been like
a frozen chicken wing.
somebody had it in the chicken factory, right? And then coughed and then all over the chicken wings and then they froze them up and it just stayed frozen on the chicken wing, right?
Yeah. I guess. I mean, I don't know. That's what's so crazy about this whole stuff. The more I've been thinking about it. Do you remember what, 5 months ago? How long has it been since we've been in this whole scenario?
8 months.
8 months? Six
Well,
months?
January. I mean, it's August.
Well,
So let's
March,
say,
I think. Yeah.
I think I had it in January. So I'm going to say January.
I
was
think
here.
our
February is confirmed
kids had
case.
it.
I think the first confirmed case in America was,
Yeah.
I think, February.
But do you remember, like, in the beginning how, I mean, it's still very,
7 months.
Very serious. But in the beginning, we thought that you couldn't, I mean, we thought that it would be transmitted by
touch.
Like, it would stay on surfaces for like four. We were freaking Lysol in our groceries before we brought them in, and we'd
Yeah.
leave our UPS outside for 4 days before we brought it in.
Yeah.
And now it's like you go to a grocery store and you come in, and you wash your hands, and then you go on with life. And
Yeah.
so, it's just crazy.
Which, who knows? If it's on chicken wings, I don't know.
I
That's
know.
even, should we go
It's
back to
like,
that? The old ways? Or,
oh,
like,
gosh.
literally, I had the, what do you call it? The Purell.
Yeah.
And I put it on my hand, and I wipe my hands, and then I take my mask off. This is coming from the grocery store. I get in the car, Purell, mask off, because I didn't want to take my mask off with my nasty hands that are coronavirus. So I'd have clean hands, and I take my mask off, and then I'd go to, like touch my steering wheel or start my car or something and be like, oh my God, I didn't, what if I had
Yeah.
it before? And then literally I probably Purell my hands 5 times on the way home from the grocery store.
You would have to like track your, and like, you don't want to touch your door handle
Yeah.
after you go to the,
Yeah, we talked about that. It's like,
yeah.
how do you know? Where is it? Where is
Yeah.
it? You can't
And
see it.
now it's just like, just wear a mask and wash your hands. And so,
Because I
it's,
think that they found out that the main thing is that it's coming from people coughing on you or
yeah, like
like breathing.
the air, the particles or the little spit.
Well, that's what I thought. And
Spit
then
dust.
you come at me with this chicken wing story.
I was watching Matthew McConaughey do an interview, a Zoom call with Dr. Fauci. And he was just like, all right, tell it to me straight, doc.
I love both of them.
I know. It was a great
I need to watch
combination.
that. I love
Yeah.
them.
And he was just like, so true or false? Can it be transmitted by surfaces? And Dr. Fauci said it's absolutely true, but it's more or less these days it's from the spit particles and stuff in the air, obviously. And
Okay.
that's why being outside is better than being in a restaurant, you know, as far as parties or
Right,
whatever.
where the air's circulating and
And he estimated that by the end of the year, that in the beginning of 2021, we should have enough a vaccine or enough vaccines for everybody.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
Let's touch on that. Okay. So apparently Russia has beat everybody to the punch on this vaccine thing. That's what the news was that I heard a couple days ago. Maybe I'm late to the party. I don't know if anything's changed. But the last I heard was Russia had a vaccine. And I've been laid up in bed for the last week, so I don't know. But the little bits that I've caught, I caught some Russian guy talking about how, yes, they have a vaccine. It works. They're distributing it to their people. And I'm like, okay. And then you come to find out that they haven't even run the necessary trials on this vaccine. So they haven't even done like what we would consider stage 3 trials to make sure that it's safe for the general public, which is where you try it on a large number of people. Like say you take 20,000 people and you try it on them. And then you decide from there if it's good for like the majority of people, right?
All right.
Well, they apparently haven't done that. They're letting their stage 3 trial just happen naturally. Like they're just going to give it to everybody and then that'll be their stage 3 trial, their whole country.
Wow.
So here's my question, Cullen. If they came up with a vaccine and you knew that they hadn't done all the proper testing because they're really rushing through this, you know, get it Russian. Oh, Russians. So let's say that they say you have to take this vaccine and they just start distributing it. They're knocking on doors. Everybody has to take this shot in the butt. Okay, so what do you do if our country is like that and somebody just shows up? It's like you have to take this. You have to take this vaccine right now. Here, bend over.
Well,
you're getting it.
I think a majority, kind of like with the whole mask thing, the mandatory mask mandate that should essentially be in place across the United States.
Right.
You're going to have those people that push back.
That buck, yeah.
That are like, well, I have asthma, and, you know, for legitimate reasons. But then also the ones that are like, well, this is America.
Yeah,
you know, I'm home of the free, but I think a majority of people,
just the people that just don't like vaccines in general, that just won't,
yeah,
like,
the anti-vaxxers would be like, F that.
Yeah,
it'd be a World War III.
But what if what if they made you? I mean, what, like, this goes back to that show I was watching, The Handmaid's Tale, where it's like there's literally like big guys with big guns on every corner. And it's no longer democracy, and you're not free anymore. Like, you're run by the government, and the government's going to tell you what to do, it, how high to jump, and you say, yes, sir. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
And you comply or you die. Like, you have two options. Like, you're either going to get on board or you're going to die. So they're going to kill you, and that's going to be out.
It's kind of like the whole mask-wearing requirement, walking into stores these days, especially in our state, and then going to school, the kids have to wear masks. Mm-hmm. Going into school, and
what if they just make it to where you have to have a card saying you've been vaccinated, or they won't let you in Costco?
There is.
Then you do it.
Yeah,
you can't get in the bar unless you have your I've been vaccinated.
And there was an app we talked about or mentioned in one podcast about like the. It was like
the
COVID tracker or whatever, uh-huh. And it like showed
folks, they're tracking you already.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but
well, it's going back to the whole school requirement thing. Mm-hmm. Remember growing up, you had dress code, and then you had like tuck in your shirt. And if you were walking through the halls, the principal, mm-hmm. Lisa would be like, get to the room, or you're getting detention, or tuck in your shirt, you know. And so now it's going to be like, tuck in your shirt, and put your mask over your nose, or wear your mask, and then
there's rules, folks. Yeah, there's rules. You got to follow the rules. What if one of the rules was you have to take this vaccine? And
that would just,
and we haven't tested it to make sure it's safe.
So that would be the
kicker, right? Because there'd be like mass protests and people in uproar. Like, no, we're not just going to put this random thing in our body. Well, guess what, Russia? I'm sorry, but it looks like that's what's happening, y'all. And I feel real bad. My heart is breaking for Russians. But
are they like they're like the guinea pigs?
What if like that?
What if it backfires?
Yeah, like a month, or it takes like a month of it being in your system, and then you like break out in hives and then dissolve, like I'm melting, or you know what I mean? Like something really crazy happens, and oh my god, Colin, this is how the zombies thing happens.
This is it.
Walking Dead coming to life. 2020.
That's crazy. In other news, I just saw on Twitter, this is an actual, actual day. Thousands attend pool party in Wuhan, the city where COVID first emerged. And it's just this picture.
Now they're just showing off.
Yeah, and they're just like, look, we beat this. We complied. We wore our masks. I saw a meme that was like somebody bitching about the whole mask thing and the mask wearing thing and the necessity of it. And I can't remember the exact context.
Just don't go out. If you feel bad, if you don't want to wear a mask, then don't go in public.
But somebody commented and was like, do you wear shoes, Lisa?
Yes, I saw that too. It's hilarious.
Or something like that. I was like, oh, that's a good like point.
If humans were meant to wear a mask, then we would have evolved to having one on our face. It's like, do you wear shoes? Okay, you've evolved to wearing shoes. Silly.
That's crazy.
Oh, silly people.
We were just talking right before the podcast started about Gaines getting a new queen bed, box spring. She wants to be up higher. Right now,
she feels like it's a kid thing.
Yeah. And
she's a big girl now, Colin. She's starting kindergarten.
Exactly.
Hello.
And we're at the beach they have like real beds there, or, you know, normal beds with box springs. And she felt like princess up higher.
Okay.
Well, we did a brand thing with Helix Mattress. If y'all want to sponsor this podcast, reach out. We'll reach out and we'll have some mattress talk. But
hey, I'm a brand ambassador for Buffy mattresses. So we're gonna talk about that.
There might be
a
conflict of interest there, but we did one with Helix for Brooks's room because he hadn't had a new mattress on his bed. We just found one from an old mattress that we had when we got his bed set up. But we put box springs on it, and it got me thinking, like, when you get a new bed you have more bedroom, but you lose more space in the bedroom.
think about it. It's a little thing,
you know, like he has more room in his bed, but
he lost less bedroom.
I was like, that's interesting to think about.
Yeah, it'll play on words. I like it. Well, I'm excited for Gaines to have a big girl bed now. Queen, too. Hey.
Yeah, she's had a queen. It's just she wants to be up higher now. And
okay.
A little more stable and stuff.
Well, I gotcha. So. Before the podcast, also, we were upstairs and we were talking to Corey about Gaines going to kindergarten and how school looks this year and how different it is. And the fact that this is really y'all's first year ever at a real school. Like, she's in kindergarten. That's like school, like K through 12. Like K, this is K. She's beginning the actual school.
Riding the bus and...
Yeah, and she's going to be riding the bus. And that just blows my mind. It just wants me to take my little babies and just hold them forever and never let them leave. Because I can't imagine just cutting them loose. Just, here you go, get on the bus. There ain't no seatbelts on the bus. My first thought is, how unsafe are these school buses? Like, I'm thinking about the few times I think we ever actually had to ride a bus.
Yeah.
And there might be seatbelts, but we don't use seatbelts. And you're up in the back of the bus throwing spit wads partying and leaning out the window with your friends and whooping.
Chunking binders full of paper out the window.
Yeah, you used to take those little pieces of paper and like fold it into a little football.
Oh,
it was
that
a little
too. Yeah.
Triangle
yeah,
football.
Yeah.
And then y'all would be throwing those.
We would play knuckles. You'd put your hands like this, like in a duckbill shape.
Uh-huh.
And then you would take turns where you get that flick and then pow, flick
your. See if you could break your hand.
And the first person to stop lost. And I would come home with like bruised hands. And I got to where I was flicking good though. All from riding the bus.
I can't see Gaines back there flicking knuckles. I don't know.
And they're going to have them spaced out on the bus because of COVID and all that.
It's just not like the normal experience
that you would have
expected for her. But at the same time, it's terrifying.
She is like beyond excited. Like, she is like her mama's child as far as like new pens and folders and books and outfits. They went school shopping yesterday and
she's like, I'm ready to learn.
She is like, yes, she is like what comes down every morning saying she had a dream about her first day of school. And
that's cute.
I think she just is ready for some other social interaction besides her brother.
Yeah, right.
Too. But me and Katie were talking about the whole mask mandatory wearing thing in the halls at school. And they don't have to wear them when they're eating and at recess, I think, or outside playing. But
well, then what's the point?
Right. But the fact that you're giving kids, not necessarily kindergartners, but like get a little bit older when people start judging other people, and you're giving the ammunition for the bullies, if you will, for more judgment. And remember, like in school, we'd be like, oh, look at Susie. She's got on green socks today. What a weirdo. Now it's going to be like, look at Susie. She's got a blue mask with purple swirls. How weird is that? Plastered all over her face. There's no way to hide. Some schools, I think, have a mandatory, like, solid color only, no pattern, unless it matches your outfit. And it's so scary because now you're going to give just more ways to criticize other kids and bully other kids.
I think that should be the least of your worries. Honestly. I know. It's like they're gonna do it anyway.
They will, but it's just like, this is...
Nobody better pull their games. I'm going to come over there and bully them back. It's too late for me.
And like the whole, like, if you wear an Auburn mask or an Alabama mask, and, you know, some of these parents are going to try to swoop in with some type of political mask or something, or a racial, like, hidden meaning. You know, like all these different little logos and stuff. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. I know a lot of schools have started back already. And there was, while we were at the beach, there was a school in Indiana on their first day had to go into quarantine because somebody got tested positive on the first day.
I've been hearing about that, like all these schools that are like backpedaling, like, oh crap.
But a lot of them are running okay, I think, in the way they've staggered everybody going in and doing the virtual stuff some days. And it's going to be
scary, dude. It's a weird world we're living in.
It's going to be crazy. Anyway, so you are here and you are, you're here.
I'm here.
You're here.
I live just till another day.
You've got Tums on the table still.
Oh, yeah. You see this? Do you need these? I keep, if you're watching and not listening, these I keep on the table because usually about, right about, we usually try to do the podcast at the same time every week on Tuesdays, you know, and in the mornings. And for some reason, I just would always get down here and I'd get heartburn and I'd have to get some Tums. And there's been a couple times where I forgot my Tums. We'd be doing a podcast, and I would just be miserable. I'd be sitting here talking, trying to, like, carry on. The show must go on, right? But I'd be sitting here, just all I could think about was how bad the acid reflux was and my heartburn was. And so, you know, sitting here right by my mic, you know, like, with everything else right next to my cell phone and the mic, there's these times. Well, Cullen, say goodbye.
Really? Oh, damn. They just busted.
That's okay. Screw you, Tom.
Somebody's going to come down here and be like, oh, sweet tarts.
Yeah. No, booger can eat them up. goodbye, Tums. I literally don't need them. Cullen, I haven't had a Tums since my surgery, and I haven't, I mean, the day of my surgery, you're not supposed to drink or anything. And I was like, I can't. I have to eat a Tums. You know what I mean? Like, it got so bad. And ever since I woke up, there's been no Tums. I've had zero acid reflux. I've literally slept with my bed straight all the way down every night.
No way. I was about to ask that.
Yes, it's been glorious. Corey's just in a better mood because he's not waking up cranky. He said the other day, he was like, it feels like we're sleeping with our feet in the air, like we're tilted the other way.
You're actually laying flat, and now it feels like you're inverted. That's so sad.
Don't make me laugh.
Oh god.
Yeah, so it's been lovely. It's definitely done the trick. I know a lot of people have watched my videos on my channel, The Southern Fried Maple Leafs, and I posted a video and
like, so back up real quick. Sorry to interrupt, but if you're just now tuning in or you didn't listen to last week's podcast, tell us what happened.
Oh, so I had a bariatric surgery, which is my second, because when I was younger, I was like 22 or something, I got the lap band put in. And it's crazy. You'd asked me last week for some, because we talked about it on the podcast last week, you'd asked me for some before and after pictures. And just like hadn't looked at pictures of myself from 12 years ago. I haven't looked at any pictures like that in so long. And I was like going back trying to find some of like my full body. And it was rare because I took pictures a lot, but like never of my whole body, you know?
Yeah.
And on purpose, you know, because that wasn't something I was right. I wanted to like remember. But I did find some pictures of myself and it was just mind blowing. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how big I was because I'm so used to being so much smaller. So
yeah, I was going back through some of your Facebook pictures and things and I was just, yeah, I do.
Like, dang, I'm like a different person.
Yeah.
And it's crazy too because I had my teeth fixed too. I used to have like this big gap in my teeth and I had that fixed and like shortly after, I guess, I got the lap band. So it literally looks like I am a different person. But so I had that surgery so long ago. I was 22, I think. I went to Tijuana, had the surgery, didn't tell anybody, whatever, had it. And it was the best decision I ever made in my entire life. So that was great. Everything was great until I got pregnant with Sophia. Maybe a little bit before that, it started like I started getting acid reflux. And then I guess being pregnant and being so big or whatever, anyway, it's knocked the band into the wrong position around my stomach. So they say that's when your band has slipped. And so my lap band slipped and it was causing me really severe acid reflux. And I didn't know that that was the situation. I just knew that, like, for the last couple of years, I've had really bad acid reflux. I had to sleep sitting up. It was so bad. And so I talked to my doctor when I was pregnant with Lily, and I was like, this is so bad. What's going on? He told me what he thought it was, which was that the band had slipped. And then after I had the baby recently, I went and he tested and made sure that that's what it was and said, yes, this is what is going on. Your band slipped, and we need to remove it. Or the acid reflux is just going to get worse and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I had the band removed last week. I had surgery. I had the band removed and I did like a revision from the lap band to the sleeve. So the band is where there's like a band in your stomach and the revision is where they just cut out like part of your stomach or whatever. So anyway, I've done that revision and that was a week ago.
This wasn't the same hospital that you had the baby in.
Yes, it was.
Oh, no.
Okay, now listen. I know a lot of you are probably like, what were you thinking going back to that hospital? I was petrified going back to that hospital. And the reason that I had to is because that's the one that my surgeon does his surgeries at. I actually went as far as looking at, and I've had this relationship with this surgeon from before I even had my bad experience with Grandview.
Okay.
So I already had my surgeon. I've already have a rapport with him. He's the one that I want. I've researched surgeons in my area to do this, and he's like the best one. And so it was one of those things where I was like, okay, do I find another surgeon who I'm not as comfortable with that I don't know to do the surgery and then have to go back through this whole process, right? All the testing and all this stuff, start basically from square one and go somewhere else and start from square one. Or do I stay with my surgeon and just express to them what happened, you know, to me.
Like, and they know. Don't F this up again.
Right. So I was real nervous about it. And the coordinator for my surgery, Heather, she was great. She was like, Brittany, she gave me a number. She was like, anything like that happens, you call me immediately and your doctor will be there like that hour to come and make sure you're okay and check on you and fix things and whatever. So I was nervous, but it was like, okay, I really like my surgeon. And, so I was like, I'm going to give him another shot, you know? And it was actually great. Everybody was great to me. There was no food involved this time, so that was probably a good thing. But it was so much better experience. So I'm glad that I did it. I'm glad that I sticked with the person I was comfortable with doing it. And so, yeah, I got done. I did that last Wednesday. It was petrifying to be there by myself. And if you watch my videos, you'll see me and they're just blubbering like a little baby. I'm sitting here crying because I'm in the room. They've made me take all this nasty medicine. They've done my shots. I've got my IV in. No one's there. It's just me. And because Corey had to be home with the girls, you know. And so then they come in and they're like, okay, let me get all your stuff because I don't have anybody to just hand it to. So security's going to take it and put it away. And so I was like, okay. And so I give them everything and I'm wearing my glasses. I'm not allowed to have my contacts and I have my phone. And she was like, we need your glasses and your phone. And I was like, wait, what? you can just put those under, like down here. Like you put this under my pillow right here.
Really?
You know? And I just had like a big baby moment and I just do not, I really, the biggest thing, like I knew I wasn't gonna have my phone with me and everything. I'm about to be under anesthesia, but the biggest thing for me was that I couldn't see. And I was like, well, how much longer until I actually go back for the surgery? And they were like, and she was like, oh, well, he's in surgery now. And then there's one in front of you. So it'll be a little while. And I'm like, well, can I just keep my shit until right? It's time to go then? Because I don't want to sit here in this room by myself with an IV in, a gown on, you know what I mean? And nothing. I can't even see. I'm so blind. And the big thing was my glasses. And I started just crying when the nurse came in. I was like, oh, the security lady came in and she was writing down everything I had. And I was like, you get handed over my glasses. And I was like, can I please keep my glasses? And I started crying. And the lady was like, dang, girl, yeah, it's fine. You can keep your glasses. The security lady didn't care. She's like, you can keep your glasses. It's fine. It's not that big of a deal. And then I started talking to her. And I was like, thank you. And I put my glasses back on. And she was just the nicest. She had just had the same surgery as me. She had just had the sleeve surgery, which she wouldn't have anything removed. But she had had the sleeve surgery, and she was obviously overweight, you know. And she said that she'd had it a month ago, and she's already lost 40 pounds.
Dang.
In a month. And I was like, dang, girl, you look good. You know, I don't know what you looked like before. But and she was just like, she stayed in there talking to me until the nurse came back. And then the nurse was like telling her, like, you gotta go. But she stayed in there talking to me, and she was just so nice. And she was telling me, you know, how it was after and the diet. And
you had to wear a mask going in and do all the precautions and stuff. And then
they gave me the anesthesia. I don't remember going back to the surgery room or anything. They knocked me out, and I was out. And then apparently it took me longer than normal people to, like, wake back up.
Really?
So Corey and Mom are here waiting on the hospital to call. Mom had come to, like, she had come to take care of the girls while Corey came to be with me when I came out of surgery. Because that was the main thing. I wanted someone with me when I came out of it. And so they were here waiting for the hospital call. And they knew what time my surgery was. And, like, hours had passed. And hours had gone by. And Corey and Mom were, like, worried. They were like, what's going on? Like, she should be out of surgery by now. Like, she should be okay. And, like, they should have called us already. So Corey just came up there. And eventually I came out.
He showed up
is my wife? Like, why y'all should call me hours ago? And apparently it just took me a lot to come out of it. But the surgery, they said, went great and everything was fine. And so there you have it. But
I remember being done at the beach being like, I thought maybe I should have heard something by now, but I'm not going to bother anybody. You know, and then finally, later that night, I think you texted and said, I'm alive.
I don't remember. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you texted up. And said, I'm alive, or thumbs up or something. I was like, okay.
But, hey, yeah. I did not, like, realize. I guess I just didn't wrap my head around it, because it was just, like, another thing that needs to be done. Like, okay, I've got laundry, then I'm going to do this, and then I got the surgery, and then I'm going to go do this and that. You know what I mean? It was just, like, a thing on the list. And I just never really stopped to wrap my head around, because I guess because it happened so fast. Because they got me into certain, like, they got, everything just happened fast, I guess. But I didn't get my head wrapped around the thought that this was, like, a kind of a big deal, you know? I might be out of commission for a few days.
Yeah, they're cutting out some of your stomach,
right? Like, yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit bigger of a deal than I thought it was going to be, I guess. But
So, how has it been? I saw Corey post a video or a picture of him watching hockey in the
Yeah, while I'm drooling on myself.
Yeah, he's like, I did get permission to post this, but
yeah, while I was fucked up, like, hey wife, can I post this? Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I remember seeing that, and then Mom said that you were pretty hurting. You were pretty miserable the next day.
Well, the gas pains, Cullen, was worse than labor. My God. If y'all have ever had your gallbladder taken out or any kind of surgery on your stomach where they have to, like, blow you up with the gas, that is absolutely miserable. Like, just coming, because you get these pains, these sharp pains, like, in your chest and your shoulder.
Some bubbles are trying to get out.
Oh, my God. It was so bad. It was so bad. And then, you know, then they gave me, like, the pain medicine, and I was fine. But when I came home, I was on pain medicines for a little while, a few days, really, and I was taking it as I needed it, but every time it would wear off, I just slept. You're supposed to get up and walk and try to do stuff, and I did as much as I could, but I was literally just sleeping for the first, 4 days after, and I'm 6 days after now, so that tells you I'm just now kind of getting to it. I just stopped taking the pain medicine and switched to Tylenol. Day before yesterday, I think. Maybe I've done it once since then, but it's the reason I was reading last night, and one of the reasons I think my stomach hurts now is because I hadn't been able to use the bathroom for 6 days. So
we were talking about that before the podcast.
Yeah, I know, that's TMI.
If you see Brittany get up,
I run off stage, you'll know why. But the pain medicines cause you to, like, get back up and stuff like that. And so anyway, I'm trying to, like, get back to normal as best that I can. I'm still in pain. I've literally still got, like, the little tape over the six incisions they did on my stomach. There's still tape over each one of them, and I'm bruised up, you know, from the
IV.
From the IVs and all over my stomach where they've cut me. I'm bruised up, but I'm slowly but surely getting back to normal.
How's the appetite? Like, you got your diet?
I haven't really eaten. Yeah, I'm on liquids. But see, before, I was on liquid diet, and I was starving because, you know, this hadn't happened yet. But now, yeah, but now it's like, I think they, like, remove the part of your stomach that makes you hungry. But I just, like, I haven't been hungry since, and it's like a job just trying to drink enough water and protein shakes, and then I'll drink soups. I've got like a whole thing of Panera soups because tomorrow I can start doing like pureed stuff. Yeah. Like, it has to be brothy soups. This whole week's a lot of chicken broth. And thank God for Surin 280 and their coconut soup.
Oh, that coconut curry.
Oh my God, it was so good. I don't know if I was supposed to have that or not, but I sure as hell drank it. So I've been drinking that, but I can only get like maybe 5 or 6 spoonfuls of soup in. And then that's it. That's the meal. That's Can you imagine only drinking like 10 spoons of soup a day and that's how you're like surviving?
Oh, man.
It's going from a lot to a little.
Right? That reminds me of the last episode of Shark Week, which, by the way, I miss Shark Week. It just ended on Sunday. Episode of it was Naked and Afraid with Sharks. And these people were out there like just taking a crab and just like just one little bitty crab, and they were like, oh my God,
yum.
The nutrition value, and
so hungry.
So yeah, I could imagine
if they had had the surgery before they did that, they wouldn't even be hungry. They'd be like, I'm good, bro, you keep the crab. You look real hungry, you can have it.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you're getting back to normal. I fully didn't expect you to be ready to go this week. I was like, I'm still hurting.
Like, my tummy still hurts and stuff, but the gas pains have kind of gone away. And that was really the hardest part. Now I'm just kind of sore. Like, it feels like I've been hit by a truck, just my you know, tummy section. Mm-hmm. But from the start of this, I've already lost 13 pounds.
Jeez.
Which is crazy to think about in 2 weeks, you know, but, but yeah, I don't know. I'm probably not gonna lose that much weight. Hopefully, I'm not gonna lose that much weight. But the reason that I did this, and a lot of you had commented and was like, "Well, why did you do that? You're too skinny to do that." The reason I did it was because of my acid reflux, and it was just revising the surgery I've had in the past. And by doing that, Colin, I can't tell you how great it feels to not reach for my Tums every other hour. You know what I mean? To be able to leave the house with nothing and not a bottle of Tums with me. That's so
funny. And they're over there just scattered on the floor now.
Yeah, I know. Have you, Tums?
That's good. I was
paying their light bill.
You did post a video about all this?
Yeah, I did. On Southern Fried Maple Leaves. Y'all go watch it if you're interested in it. And it's awesome hearing everybody that has watched it that has gone through the same thing or something similar, like a bypass or the band. And it's awesome to hear, you know, y'all's stories or people that are like about to go through it. And there's even people that have done the same thing as I have, which I thought I was rare doing like a revision. Like, not many people have done it twice, but there's tons of people out there that have had the same thing happen and have commented. And I just thought that was too cool to see a lot of people that have done this and come out and say, you know, I've done it. Cause it's not something people talk about very often, but it is the best decision that I ever made. It was to do the band. And now, hopefully this will be the second best decision, which is to get it revised. So
that is good. Yeah. I can't wait to see how it turns out. Speaking of comments, we disabled all our comments on our most recent videos just because we realized, I know with this, it's good to hear feedback and stuff in certain times, but like, it was getting to the point where not the comments weren't bad or anything. There was nothing wrong with our comments on our videos, but we had them held for approval, so we'd have to have them approved because of all the stuff that was going out with the apocalypse and then the child,
making sure it's
children friendly and all that stuff. So we were doing that based on what our YouTube manager had suggested and this and that and the other. And then it just hit us the other day that we were spending too much of our brain space and time as far as trying to live a quote unquote normal life. And I know we put ourselves out there that if you have something nice to say, that's fine and everything. If you have something mean to say, that's fine.
You can always go in and read it. That doesn't mean you have to post it for everybody else in the world. Right.
But even like knowing that I don't have to go in and read it It's so freeing. It was like, it's been the best 2 weeks or however long since we started doing this. And people still, if they want to comment, they come over to Instagram and send DMs, or they go to our Facebook and they can comment there. But just the knowing that it's a video that I wanted to post, or we wanted to post as a family,
uh-huh,
or as a creator, yeah, on our channel that we've created, and not have to have any positive, negative, neutral feedback,
uh-uh,
in our ear chatter, regardless of what it is, it has been so good. Like, it's been,
it's actually more normal when you think about it, because most people live their lives and they don't have anybody's opinions chiming in. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, nobody comments on normal people's lives. So somebody that's actually posting it for the world to see is like, it is more normal for to get zero feedback, yeah, because, yeah,
there's just so,
it doesn't sway you one way or the other, exactly, in your actions. Exactly. Yeah.
There's just been so many things that I've posted now or put in our videos that I normally would have to question or like think about, well, maybe if I'd say this the one way, somebody's going to take it the other way. Now I just say it however the hell I want. And then if you take it that way, then good. Think about it.
But you'll never know about it.
You can't comment unless you come over to Instagram or something. And then, I mean, so, I don't know. You were saying the comments were, yeah, so good to read, and I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. We turned our comments off. There's a lot of channels, okay, that have them disabled permanently by YouTube in general.
Yeah,
and they,
anyway,
still just post, and people tweet them and stuff like that on other social platforms. But, like, I was like, I just want to try it and just see how it feels,
well, good,
personally. And it feels so good to not have to remember, one, to go in and approve comments or check on comments, yeah, and see, did they like the video? And that was one of the hardest parts, was being at the beach with the drone footage and the GoPro, and like me being creative as far as my outlet and mm-hmm, wanting to,
trying to do some fancy shit.
It's always, yeah, it's always rewarding to get that immediate feedback, like, oh, this was amazing editing, Colin, da 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 da. And I'm like, yeah, toot my horn somewhere, please. And let me prove some more pat on the back comments here. This is nice. Yeah, yeah. But now it was like, I'm just doing this because I love to do it, and I don't have to worry about, like, if I get patted on the back or, right, not, you know?
So, and your kids are going to be able to, like, grow up when, yeah, they're older, going to be able to look back and see these beach trips and remember these fun, like, I wish we had videos of when we were kids.
Oh, no.
At the beach, man, we were a little hell on wheels.
Little voices and their
little,
we were
tan with blonde hair, blonde eyebrows, everything.
Yeah.
The sun kissed.
So that's
awesome.
That
well,
was
good. I didn't notice you'd done that, but I'm happy for you. Good for you.
Yeah. And then something else, you mentioned Panera. And while we were down at the beach, I had the kids one day, and Katie, she texted me. She was doing work. We were still having to work. There's no time off in this social media world.
Mm.
And she was getting budget stuff together, and I took the kids out and went to the pool. And she texted, and she's like, I was just going through the statement, the bank statement. So, did you go to Panera this morning? I don't care if you did, but if you did, just, I needed to know so I can calculate it into the eating out fund or whatever. I was like, no. And so I went to the rand of the car. I was like, is my wallet still in the car? Is her purse still in the car? Because I'd taken the car over to this one pool that was pretty far away. Everything, yeah, was still there. And so she was like, well, oh, damn. So that derailed our, so then she had to like get on the phone with the bank. They canceled her credit card. Found out it was somebody in Delaware that stole her card number and ordered online Panera bread at Panera number 6 in Delaware.
Oh my gosh. How would they get her card number?
She swiped it somewhere and they had, you know, software. There's people that do it. The bank was like, yeah, it looks like somebody stole your card. We'll just shut it off and issue a new one. Like, no big deal.
Yeah.
It was like,
it happens
so
often.
Common. Yeah.
All these scammers out there trying to scam. Don't we have enough shit going on in 2020 for y'all to be scamming folks, taking people's money to just so you can get some soup and bread?
$39 Panera bread order. That was their test, I think. They were just going to get a little online to go. You know, they ordered it online to go. Do a little $39.
Was it a delivery? Because I'm shoving it to your house.
And I don't think it was a delivery. I think it was
curbside.
Curbside. They
went
in.
With the mask on.
Didn't have to see anybody or talk to anybody. It was all done online. Entered Katie's information and then went and picked it up. That went through. They ate their soup and they're probably getting ready to shop online for a new couch or something.
I mean, did you look at your statement and make sure they hadn't done anything else?
Was, yeah,
there
it was
like McDonald's,
it was
from the day
she
before?
She had caught it. She had just caught it. It just started pending that as she was checking the doing her budget.
Wow. Wow.
So she caught it right at the beginning.
But she knew that there's nothing else in the past. That's
right.
Been,
yeah.
It's all been y'all except for
yeah.
this.
Because if we'd have been at the beach or, you know, down at the beach all day and then.
What do they do, though, when they have that information? They know that there's somebody in Delaware doing this. Do they try to find that person and arrest them? Or is it just like, oh, you got the free meal?
Yeah, I was like, can we, like, get that back?
Oh, dang, this one doesn't work anymore. Next.
Yeah.
I mean, like, can we lock these people up?
Since it was still pending.
I hate a thief.
We couldn't do anything about it because it was still pending. But once it cleared and went through, then we can request fraudulent charges
and get your money back. Yeah, but did they get in trouble?
I know. I'm like, well, figure out who did it because I want to know how they did it. And
I can't stand a thief for real. That's like the worst, man.
And all of our automatic payments and bills and everything are, of course,
now you
got to
re-enter all that shit.
Katie's card.
So it's really just an inconvenience for you, and all that happened to the thief is they got a free meal and got to find a new card. I mean, that's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. So you said Panera, and I was like,
whoever says defund the police, no. We need to give them more money so they can find out who's doing this scamming business.
Oh, man.
Get on it.
Anyway, well, that does it for today's podcast.
Thank
I'm glad you
guys
you,
for listening.
You feeling better. And
thank you. Yeah, hopefully we're going to the lake in a week and a half. So hopefully I'll be like back to my regular self by then and just relax, kind of take it easy. We're going to run a pontoon boat, so that'll be fun. But yeah,
sounds amazing.
That's the goal is that I just need to be really healthy before we go to the lake. I need to be able to be submerged in water by then. And that's the goal. But thank you guys so much for listening and for watching and for tuning in. I know life is crazy this year and y'all have been sticking with us and we love it. And we love you guys. And you can comment if you want to. Always hit us up on YouTube, on Instagram, all that, and Facebook.
Follow
us, subscribe, like, all that good stuff. And
because you never know when it might be the last time that you'll ever be able to hit a like button or a follow on any social media platform. And you posted something about that on our Instagram the other day about like the 20 last things that you don't rewinding a cassette tape to take back or a video.
You did that for
VHS.
The last time one time
and you didn't realize it.
The last time you didn't take that Blockbuster video
back. that blew my mind. I was sitting there reading some of those going, oh shit, I remember doing that for the last time. Kind of remember some of it for the last time, but you don't think about it.
Right?
So about this, subscribe.
Yes. Take joy in life's little pleasures, and you never know when it's going to be your last little pleasure. So, thanks for watching, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week, folks.
Don't tell mom. Peace.
We got that peace thing down, Pat, after 113 times.